Hey guys, there's cookies in here if you want them up on the.
Okay.
We'll get you something to drink.
Yep, you know where everything's at, so. Okay, chapter 18 this week, right?
Yep. Yes, sir.
Okay, I'll read it first. And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was enlightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and is become the habitation of devils and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached into heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double to her, double according to her works, in the cup which she has filled, fill to her double. Excuse me. How much she has glorified herself and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her. For she said in her heart, I sit a queen, and am no widow, and shall see no sorrow. Therefore shall her plagues arrive in one day, come in one day, and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judges her. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, Alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buys their merchandise anymore. The merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and of pearls and fine linen, purple and silk and scarlet and all fine wood, and all manner vessels of ivory, and all manner vessels of most precious wood, and of brass, and of iron, and marble, and cinnamon, and odors, and ointment, and frankincense, and wine, and oil, and fine flour, and wheat, and beasts, and sheep, and horses, and chariots, and slaves, and souls of men. And the fruits that thy soul lusted after are departed from you, and all things which were dainty and goodly are departed from you, and you shall find them no more at all. The merchants of these things which were made rich by her shall stand afar off for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing, and saying, Alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, for in 1 hour so great a riches is come to naught. And every shipmaster and all the company in ships and all the companies in ships and sailors and as many as trade by sea stood afar off and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning and saying, What city is like unto this great city? And they cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, Alas, alas, that great city wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness. For in 1 hour is she made desolate. Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God has avenged you on her. And a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone, and cast it into the sea, saying, Thus with violence shall the great city Babylon be thrown down, and shall be found no more at all. And the voice of the harpers and the musicians and the pipers and the trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in you, and no craftsman of whatsoever craft he be shall be found any more in thee, and the sound of the millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee. and the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in you, and the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in you. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth, for by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. And in her was found the blood of the prophets and of the saints, and all that were slain upon the earth. That's a mouthful. Again, let me remind you that everything is going on inside. And it's so easy to look at these words and our mind run off to ships floating on the sea and all these physical things that were named here, gold, silver, and pearls, and different colors, and animals, and people. But it's stuff going on in here. Okay, in the first verse. Apocalyptic language, they call this book, a lot of people. This is an apocalyptic language, okay? It is parabolic language, I believe. It's saying something, meaning something else. Apocalyptic language is saying something, just saying it, but then something people don't know what to think about it. But it's not apocalyptic, it's parabolic. And after these things, I saw another angel. And literally that word after is the word meta, which means
in the midst.
So in the midst of all these things going on, and in that 18th verse of the last chapter of 17, it says, and the woman which you saw is that great city, Babylon. Okay? And Babylon is really what? We're talking internal now. It's a religious confusion in my mind, which reigns over the kings of the earth. Now, what do we remember what the kings of the earth is? It's people living on this earth that are supposed to be sons of God, but they've sold out to the system. And the people, and we would say in the first two covenants, the dust and the sand, they're on the earth. The star covenant is in the heavenlies. See what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that 18th verse ties right into the chapter 18. Okay? And in the midst of these things, I saw another messenger come down from the realm of the Spirit. Okay? Having great power, and the earth was not lightened, but how about illuminated? Okay? And I can't read my writing. From his glory. Okay, it's from his glory, not. No, I can see it. I just, my writing's so small. Need a big magnifier to get it. Okay, it's from, right? It's ek. From his glory. Now, who are we talking about? Who is this messenger?
Christ.
It was Jesus, the Christ. Okay, he's the one that came. He said he was the light of the earth. He was the light that lighted every man that comes into the world, didn't he?
Yep.
See, so this was talking about the Christ showing up with great power and everything. He had all power was given unto him. Didn't he say that? Father gave me all power and authority. Now, and it says, and he cried mightily with a strong voice, or what? In a strong voice, saying, Babylon. And what is Babylon?
Religious.
Yeah. It's a religious. Now, when this loud voice was going off, where was it at?
Inside.
There's a point in your life where you're going to hear God cry out, it's time. It's time. You've come far enough now, we've got to start dropping things off. You remember when the Jews were in the desert for 40 years?
Mm-hmm.
And you could trail them wherever they went. You know why? Because that stuff they was packing, yeah, they had to start getting rid of it. It eventually got so heavy they could not carry it any longer. Walking in the sand. If you ever walked in sand dunes very much, it ain't easy. Especially with a whole bunch of garbage on your back. And that again goes back to the covenants of sand, dust and sand. You keep walking in them, the garbage that you pack and carry from the religious system gets so heavy you can't carry it after a while, and people just cast it off. But it says Babylon, that religious system in the mind of man, created by the mind of man from the soulish side, the great is fallen. And he said it twice, fallen. And the word is there, all three of those words is right there close together. There's three different is's. They're not in the writing. Okay. But the first one, the great is fallen, is okay. The next two shouldn't be. They don't even make sense. And become it is fallen and become the habitation of devils, the hold of every what? Foul spirit. It literally says demonic spirit. Okay. And the cage, or the holding place, or the prison of every demonic and hateful bird. Do you know what hateful birds, or birds in general, represent? Most birds represent in Scripture?
Curses.
No. Thought processes. No. Bad thought processes. Spirits, okay?
Okay, bad thought would be a curse on you, though.
Well, yeah, but that's not the context of what they're saying. They're saying that, like, the blackbirds come and steal up all the seed that God gives you. You know, it's a negative thing, okay? Into verse 3, it says, because all nations, how many?
All.
Now, we're not talking about countries. We're talking about our minds, our imaginations, have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her. And who is her? That's our soul. That Babylonian soul in us. Mm-hmm. Of her fornication, or her unfaithfulness. Mm-hmm. Okay? And the kings of the earth have committed... Let me do it again. I'll get better lights in here. Have committed... Now, kings of the earth. What is the kings of the earth?
Which ones are stopped, Kim?
In the Passover and Pentecostal rounds. They're kings, but they can only do it in the earthly realm because they're not stepping on up into the spirit realm. Is it their fault? No. God has a place for everyone, doesn't he? Yep. And everyone will come in their order. So we're not out here trying to change the world into making everyone come. We're only coming to maturity. And when we truly come to maturity, God will deal with us then as mature sons of God, just like he dealt with Jesus.
He just hasn't prevented them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He hasn't done anything yet. He just let them wall or wherever they want to wall.
Let them go up so far. And then
that's as far as they can go for
right now.
No. Have committed, or have been, and these kings of the earth have been unfaithful, where? In the midst of her. As long as you stay in this first two realms, the earthly king realm, guess what you can't do without? You can't not be unfaithful in her realm. And in her realm. As long as you stay in the dust and sound, you can't be faithful to God.
Yeah.
You have to be faithful where you are.
Yeah, it's ice. You're stronger than you are.
Yep.
So you're going to just suppress them, and then you're going to get right back to it.
Right. You just temper, and you'll be right back flopping again.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, where did I leave off here? Commit fornication in the midst of her. And the merchants. What is the merchants of the earth?
Would that be... I'll wait till...
No, go ahead.
The merchants is something that's constantly trying to sell you something in your hand.
Exactly. Exactly. See, the merchants of the earth, they're selling the earthly wares. That's religion. Okay. And that's what the church is doing. It's selling you the earthly wares.
Selling you one and two.
Huh?
Selling you one and two.
Yeah, you're already there and they're selling you more of it.
Yeah.
It's like a man living in the desert and they're selling him sand.
I was thinking how I could write it really easy. Yeah. It's you know what I mean? In the little bitty spot.
It's like a guy in a boat out there and they're selling him salt water in the middle of the ocean, you know.
Yeah. I'm not cutting it short.
That's all right.
It's all good.
Said, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through or from, okay, it's the word ek, from the abundance or the power of her luxuries. So they're tempted by wealth. Do you know how many people believe that prosperity is godliness?
Yeah.
They believe that.
Ask Fred Price.
Ask Kenneth Copeland.
Yeah.
He's the wealthiest preacher on the face of the earth today.
I think T.D. Jakes is now.
No, he's not. I just read it here just a few weeks ago. They had the 10 most...
Bishop.
Yeah, he's bishop. He's a bishop, yeah. Among other things. But Kenneth Copeland has a wealth of over $750 million. Now, what in the world does one man need all that for to sit back in a great big palace he lives in out in Oklahoma or wherever it is, and has airplanes and stuff like that? I mean, what good does that do him except his pride blowing himself up to make him think I'm great? What about helping all them people around him, just people in his state, if no place else?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, what's all that about?
Yeah. Yeah, he could do it awful lot.
Well, he missed, he missed
with $750 million.
He missed the meaning of this verse. It had nothing to do with that out there.
Yeah. Well, that's I know, but they think it out there. Well, that rich stuff is good. Verse 4. I don't want to go off on a tangent because I could do that, and I don't want to. Verse 4 says, "I heard another voice from heaven or the realm of the spirit," okay, saying, "Come out of her, my people, in order that you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not her calamities." Now, who's he talking about coming out of?
Me coming out.
Me coming out myself.
Me coming out of the religious system that man has built within me. That Babylonian city that they've built inside of us.
What about the soul?
That is soulish. The soulish realm is the only one that will build that because of the pride involved in it. So come out from her and be you separate. See, it says in one place, come out of her and be ye separate, it says. But actually it says, be ye special. Okay? You should come out and become special. Be what you've been called to be. Separate. How can you come out from them and be ye separate and still be in the pack with them? It's an impossibility. See, it's an oxymoron to even say that, but that's what they try to do. And he said, "A good reason not to, that you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her calamities." So you stay in the system. What are you going to get?
Your serpent food.
Your serpent food. The serpent can lick the dust. Mm-hmm. Okay, but see, and this is a misconstruing of understanding when it says, "Come out from her, so you don't take of her calamities." Mm-hmm. Well, that's where people will say, "Well, okay, well, if we come out, then we won't get nothing. Everything will be fine." No, it didn't say that. It said you won't partake of her calamities. Did it say you wouldn't get your own? Everybody's going to get calamities.
Well, I was thinking of an example of someone here recently that left the church system and thought that everything was cool.
Mm-hmm.
But hell's in the camp.
Sure, absolutely. See?
Because they don't want to get, they don't
want to go
realize
on.
Realize that the
they
change has got to come inside of me, not.
They think leaving the church system out there is all there was to it.
Yeah.
But they didn't realize you got to get the church out of you, too. They separated from the system of man out there, but they still got it inside.
When you get the hell out, you forgot to remember that you still got to get the hell out.
Right. Another context, but yes. Absolutely. Verse 5, "Because her sins have reached to the realm of the Spirit, and God has remembered her," what? "Her iniquities." Remember what, where the iniquity started?
Well, at the tree. Let's
go back to Genesis 3. Yeah. Genesis 3. "Now the serpent was more subtle or craftier than any beast of the field which the Lord God made. And he said to the woman, Hath God said, You shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, You shall eat it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die." Didn't say that. She added to it there. See? But the problem started with the internal, with the woman side inside of us, the soulish side, when we start adding to and taking away from what God said.
It must have some detestable birds in those trees.
Oh, it did, yeah. But there was a snake there, see? They said there was a snake. Yeah. Wasn't no snake in a tree. Tree represents what? Humanity. So the serpent is that thing right between her ears. It's not a reptile crawling around on his belly. Okay. Verse 6, reward her even in her, that's the religious system in us, the soul. Reward her as she rewarded you. Now, how much trouble has she caused you? Mm-hmm. Your own woman.
Slap her upside the head.
Yeah. I used to say, slap that bitch in the mouth and tell her to shut up.
Yeah.
But anyway, reward to her even as she rewarded you, and double to her, double according to her works, in the cup which she has filled, to her, double it.
Mm, there she is. She did it.
Yeah. But see, they're talking. That's where the chauvinistic preachers say, it's that woman. Mm-hmm. That woman. Yeah. Get your women in order, boys. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Get your wives in order. I mean, they really believe that stuff. Mm-hmm. And their woman inside's the woman that's causing the trouble.
Yeah, it's internal.
It's giving their ego permission to be dominant. Mm-hmm.
To be chauvinistic.
Be God.
Verse 7. How much she has glorified herself and lived luxuriously. Mm-hmm. So much torment. Word torment ain't right.
Touchstone.
It's a touchstone. He said, what he's saying is, see how much gold's in her. Keep gouging her. Take that touchstone, that silicious stone, and strike her with it and see how much gold's in there.
So when she's under the pressure,
how's she going to react to that thing? And sorrow, her touchstone test and sorrow and grief, give to her. For she said in her heart, I sit a queen and am no widow, and shall see no sorrow. Now, you know what that is? That's denial. She ain't giving up her man. She's telling you, my old man never died on the cross. I still got him.
Yeah.
He's in control.
I am a queen. You know, I still have a man. I'm not a widow. See, she said, I am no widow. My man didn't die. He's still alive and well. That's where most church realms are. And shall see no sorrow. Therefore, or because of this, shall her calamities appear in one day. And actually, that isn't what it says. It's the word Mia. You know what that says?
Mm-mm.
First. In the first day.
Okay.
That's the first day when you get started. We're not talking about the day you were born. We're talking about when you start to walk in your progression with God. In the first day, that's when the calamity starts. I told people years ago, I said, I never had any trouble with life until I got into church. And then all hell broke loose. Well, I didn't.
Does that mean in your Passover experience?
Yeah.
When it starts.
That's when it starts, when you start to separate from the world. When I got in church, man, it just all broke loose on me. And I couldn't understand why the church world was so mean. And they are. They're mean. They're mean-spirited.
Yeah.
And they just say, oh, no, no, no. If you do this, you'll never have another... You're crazier than hell. You know, that's when it starts.
Put in your bag corner.
Yeah. Death and mourning or grief and famine. Famine for what?
Word of God.
There you go. There ain't no word in that first day. And she shall be utterly burned in, not with, in fire. Fire is purification. See, the woman got to be purified in me. So it shows that she will be in submission to her man, the Christ, within me. Hear that? See, my woman has to be burned with fire. That means she's got to be purified. And fire is the word pure, P-U-R in Greek, where we get our word purified. Because strong is the Lord God who judges her. Now, everybody's thinking when he says judges her, this is some judgment someday, and he's going to be this old gray-haired man, big old fat gray-haired man with a beard and long hair, Snow White, sitting on this big throne. He's going to say, guilty, throw him in hell. And it ain't true. On the cross, Jesus made the judgment. It's finished. He said, Father, forgive them. He didn't say, just forgive the ones that's going to say, I'm sorry, and beg for forgiveness. He said, Father, forgive them, all creation, because all were in deception. He says the whole world lies in deception. So why would he let a few of them up, but not the rest of them? They don't understand it. But that's okay. The main thing is we know. But God has already made his judgment. Did not Jesus say all judgment is given to the Son?
Yep.
Okay. What's it say in that first verse up there? I saw a messenger come down from the spirit realm, having great power, and the earth was illuminated with his glory, or in his glory. Mm-hmm. Well, who do you think this one is right here that's talking now? It's the Christ. Correct?
Yep.
It's still the Christ talking. And he was given, he was the one that was given all judgment. Okay?
He's the deliverer of all this mess.
Well, he was the judge of everything, and he's already made judgment.
Came and took care of it.
Said, all judgment's given me in heaven and earth. All power is given to me in heaven and earth. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication or lived in the dust and the kings of the earth who live in the dust and the sand, who have committed fornication or been unfaithful and lived deliciously with her, their soulish sides, the religious side, shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke. And what is that all about?
I don't know.
That they're losing control.
Not the smoke of her burning, but the smoke over her burning. Okay? Now, what do you think that word burning really means?
Purifying.
Mm-mm. It says this word for burning here is trials that test character.
Yeah.
Find out what kind of character you're really made out of.
Yeah, it's that tells on her that. That's not the right thing.
Yeah. Just back up, stomp on your toe and see where you're at.
Yeah.
At the end of my shift, I'll be in tears.
Yeah. 10th verse says, standing afar off, through, not because, it could be because or through, it's dia, the fear of her torment, again, the touchstone, the test, saying, not alas, alas, but woe, woe.
Pain, grief, and suffering.
And that's pain, grief, and suffering. That great city Babylon, and that is what? That's my woman, my soul, my religious side. And you remember the Sevenites in the land?
Yeah.
What was the last one mentioned?
Jebusite,
the religious spirit. See, so we all had some Babylon in us. But we have to come to the point when Babylon needs to fall.
Okay? The one wants to be God.
Yeah. That mighty city, because in 1 hour is thy judgment or thy justice come or appeared. Now, in 1 hour, and this is the second time we've heard this thing about in 1 hour, and I missed it on the other verse, and I'm going to say it now. What's 1 hour represent?
Short period of time.
Exactly. It's a short space of time. It's very quickly. It didn't say in a week, a month, a year, or a decade, or a lifetime. Judgment starts in a very short period of time. It's coming. And when it comes, you'll be the first to know when it's yours. Verse 11 goes on to say, and the merchants of the earth. Who is the merchants of the earth?
It's the one trying to sell you bad thoughts.
It's the ones that's peddling in us. You know, if you and we don't want to go out here and tie it till we can see your own mind. You can see it going on in the natural.
That ain't too bad. You're all right. You'll be okay.
Well, the merchant shall weep and mourn over her because no one is buying their merchandise anymore. Mm-hmm. You can see that out there, but it's also inside. It's that woman inside that's upset because she ain't in control no more. She's lost control.
The wicked witch of the west.
Yeah. But you can see it on the TV shows, and they you can't get nobody. They're going off the air. We need money, 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 money.
Yeah. Well, on the radio too.
Yeah, everywhere. Even in the churches, it's the same thing. It says the merchandise. This tells you what the merchandise they deal in: gold and silver. They merchandise God's nature and His redemption, and precious stones, which is sons and daughters, and pearls and fine linen. I'm not going to break all these down. It said fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet and all finen wood. It's the good of humanity. That finen wood, that's the good part of humanity, the good wood, first fruit, the good tree. And all manner of vessels of ivory, and all manner of vessels of most precious wood, you know, even the ones that's first fruits right there, and of brass, which speaks of strength and endurance, and iron, which is no compromise, inflexible, and marble, which speaks of kingdom beauty, and of cinnamon, that's a fragrance, and odors or incense, of ointments, which actually it says myrrh and suffering, which represents suffering, and frankincense, which is incense, and wine, which speaks of revealing or teaching, and oil, speaks of anointing, and fine flour, which is what they say is the true word, you know, and wheat, which is the letter of the word, and beasts, domesticated animals, that's what people become, you know, that domesticated animal like a sheep, sheep and horses and chariots, and slaves. And you know what that word for slaves is?
Souls and bodies.
Well, it's the word soma, which means a whole sound body.
Sound whole body.
A sound whole body. So why'd you put slave there? Don't have no idea. And the souls of humanity. Okay. That's what they merchants deal in. Does that sound familiar? But now we can see it external, but we don't want to see it internal. I mean, I'm saying me. You know, I don't want to see it internal. I don't want to see me. But if I can't see me doing that, how am I ever going to get clear of it?
You can't.
You see what I'm saying?
Keep harboring it.
I have to be able to see that I am guilty of those things. Mm-hmm. But through the grace of God, He set me free. So why can't I just turn it loose and go on? I don't have to be tied to some organization to be a child of God.
Or to things that you hold dear to yourself,
yeah,
that you don't want no one to touch.
Yeah, there is nothing like that. Not anymore. It's got to go. And 14 says, and the fruits of thy soul, the fruits that thy soul lusted after are departed from you. Whoa. Means it's gone, don't it? And all things which were dainty or sumptuous and goodly or magnificent are departed from you, and you shall find them no more at all. Mm-hmm. See, there's certain things that just, at one time,
you're stripped.
Yeah. Your priorities are is in one place. But when God gets through of you, those priorities are no longer there. Those things don't mean what they used to mean.
Well, didn't Solomon say it's all vanity?
No.
Solomon.
Yeah.
Was it Solomon? Okay. Mm-hmm. My mind wasn't there. I couldn't think of it. He said, y'all, everything is vanity. Mm-hmm. Okay. 15, right? The merchants of these things which were made rich by her shall stand afar off because of the fear of her touchstone again, weeping and grieving, and saying, woe, woe, that great city, Babylon. And Babylon is a walled city, okay?
Yeah.
Now, tell me something about that nature of that walled city.
It's you. You want to continue to keep everything inside.
Right. See, most people think of a city, walled city, as protecting everything from getting in. But it also protects everything from getting out. Mm-hmm. And that walled city is between our ears. And we want to... I had a, had a man once started time try to tell me about the rapture. Yeah. He told me it was in the book. And I said, really, could you show it to me? Oh, I've read it many times in the Bible, he said. And I said, that's funny. I said, I've read that whole book hundreds of times from cover to cover, every single word. Looked at it in the Greek and Hebrew more times than I even tried to count. And you know what? I have never found the word rapture in there. So if he said, I'll bet you $1,000 it's in there. And I said, I'll cover it. But then he backed out after I proved him wrong. But a couple weeks later, I come back with a... He didn't come back for a couple weeks, and I kept a Strong's Concordance in my truck. And when I saw him, I went out and got the Concordance out of the truck, brought it in, turned it to where the RAP, you know, as close as you could get to it, and said, there it is. Show me where the word is. You know what he did? He looked at me, what is that? And I said, it's a concordance, tells every word in the book, and if it's in there 100 times, it'll show it 100 different times, you know. And he said, he just closed the book up and slid it back across the table to me. He says, I know what I believe. See, walled city. That's Babylon. It's that walled city keeping everything in. You can't touch what I got, because I've got it, and I believe it, see. God never said, if you believe it, that'll take care of it for you. He never said that. And we're at, what, 17?
Mm-hmm. No. Yeah, I don't know if you finished the other one.
I don't think I finished 16. Mm-hmm. Whoa, whoa, great is that great city, the walled city, that was clothed in fine linen, right? Mm-hmm. And that's in the righteousness. Now, in whose fine linen was it? The fine linen of the earth or the fine linen of the spirit?
Because you're talking about the walled city.
There you go. You got it. Mm-hmm. It's the worldly thinking. Mm-hmm. Remember what Isaiah said was about his righteousness? He was
rags.
A prophet of God.
Filthy
he said,
rags.
It's filthy rags.
Filthy, stinking, menstruating.
Yes. Rags. Yep. And purple, which speaks of royalty, okay? And scarlet, which also speaks of the blood or sin. And decked with gold, which is supposed to be kingship, you know, the nature of God. And precious stones, which is the people. And pearls, which is a... Okay, and what about pearls?
Something that's been through a lot of stuff to...
It's all been formed through all kinds of torment and torture. All the pressure, but it took an irritation to start that pearl growing. And amazing what normally it causes a pearl to start? A grain of sand. Do you get that?
Yep.
Grain of sand. So those earthly realms will get you in trouble, but they can work out to be good because God's used it for that very purpose. And verse 17 goes on and says, because in 1 hour, again in a short period of time, so great a riches has come to naught or nothing, and every shipmaster and all the company in ships and sailors and as many as trade by sea stood afar off. What is this trade by sea?
It's wouldn't it be in the first and second realm or anywhere in humanity?
Trading in humanity. See, they're making their living from humanity rather than earning a living the way it should be. Did God ever say that if you become a preacher, you don't have to work no more? See, but people think that. And the majority of the ministries on the earth today think, if I become a preacher, then everybody should take care of me. Isn't it true? That's the way they live. Give it to me. You don't need it. I need it. People that don't have the money to get to a fellowship meeting, give me your money. And he's driving a Mercedes or flying around on jets, like I said to Copeland a while ago. He's got his own jets, got his own airport and hangars and everything, you know. What do you need begging
they
money for?
Want to lift himself up, put himself up on that pedestal. Mm-hmm.
And he said, if you exalt yourself, I'll abase you. So that's up to them. They got to deal with it. Again, that's external, but we got to look inside. That we don't do that ourselves, correct?
Yeah.
We can't trade in humanity. We can't buy and sell people and conditions and say, well, we've got a revelation for $25. I'll send you the latest revelation. Well, they do it all the time.
Where do you put your trust?
Huh?
Where do you put your trust?
Yeah.
Oh. So we're 18 now, right? And cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, what is like unto this great city? What is like to this great city? Nothing. And they cast dust on their heads. They were humbling themselves a little bit. And cried, weeping and wailing, you know, saying, woe, woe. That great city wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea. See, all the ones that had some way, we think we have a way to manipulate humanity and buy and sell with thoughts that we can get rich off of the backs of somebody else. Yeah. When we see ourselves as those captains of those ships in our mind, we can control and make a living by it. By reason of her costliness or magnificence, because in 1 hour she is made desolate. When we come to the time of our life when it's over in this realm, what's all this stuff worth?
Nothing.
The whole world is worth nothing to us, is it?
Mm-mm.
And the sooner we realize that it really has no value, there's no intrinsic value to this
stuff.
Should
that be that way while you're living?
I said right now it should be. It should be right now that this is just stuff. It's like a tool. You have a house to keep the weather off of you. You have lights to assist you to see. You know, you have vehicles to get around in. They're not to worship. They're just something you use. You know, everything is a tool to get you through this life. And that's the way we should be thinking about these things instead of seeing something in this high esteem. Just like, look how many people today look at money as it's a god to them. I know people that's multi-millionaires and they live like paupers. You know, I know a lot of them, really. And they live like nothing. I don't understand it. What good is that money? Because when they die, and a lot of them are pretty old, and they're getting to the point, now they're a lot older than I am even, and they're getting to a point where they could be any day, literally, because they have health issues, and who gets the money?
They've not enjoyed any of it.
No, they can't enjoy it. They got the money to do anything they want, and they can't have enough liberty in their mind to spend a little bit of money.
Got too many merchants in their mind.
Well, that's exactly what they're doing. They're merchandising, trying to make more money. Whew. Man, thank God I don't have to go through that one. Yeah. That's terrible.
Is that kind of like also the wanting more of the humanity in us?
Sure.
Just
never have enough.
More is never satisfied.
Never enough.
If I had more, then I would be more of a god.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what it wants to. Yeah. If you would attain to something that you'll never reach.
Yeah.
It's an illusion.
If this next verse don't clarify what we've already said, then we ain't heard anything. Okay, rejoice over her, heaven, thou heaven, and you holy apostles and prophets, because God has avenged, and that's not really what it says, but it's talking about, okay, it says avenged her, you on her. I'll do this in a second. Rejoice over her because of her falling down. Would God ever tell you in the natural to rejoice over someone taking a collapse like that?
No.
See, it's not external.
Mm-hmm.
You see, it can't possibly be external because God's nature is love and he could not. But the church world might tell you that, but that's not the truth. Because we're talking about Jesus here, the Christ talking right here, the messenger that came from above and lights the whole world. They said, rejoice over her, you heaven, and are we not the heavens that God dwells in? And you holy apostles and prophets, because God has, and here's what it says, God has chose the decision. There's three words there in it. Has avenged you. It says, it's krino ho krima.
Decided. Or just,
yeah. He has chose the decision. Okay, he chose her way out, didn't he? Did we have a choice in the matter? All we have to do is agree with him, and it's taken care of.
Okay. This version says God has judged her for the way she treated you.
And that's the common sense way of saying it, but it's not the technical way it's said.
NIV. Okay. But the other thing I was thinking about What about God's judged her for the way you let her treat you?
Well, didn't say that, but I mean, yeah, but you have give in to her because she's right. strong and mighty mm-hmm. in the ways. When your mind says this worldly system or this church system is the domination control of everything, mm-hmm. who am I to argue with them? Every one of us has stood in that position. When we started in a church realm, we were in awe of the leadership of the church. True? We thought the church had something special to give us. They gave us nothing. Right?
Yeah, but I was talking about the inside. Why you let it happen inside?
Well, I understand, but I'm saying even on the outside, when you're in that realm right. of thinking, in that soulish Babylonian thinking, it's external. It's not internal. You can't see it that way.
They told you.
That's what I'm saying. See, in that realm, we've all stood there where we've let that realm, along with our woman inside, will say, oh yeah, they're right. Mm-hmm. Go with it. See, because it's the Babylonian, that dust and sand realm. They're going to agree with you. And how could you disagree with that when your own mind's telling you along with what everybody else is saying? But they're messed up, so I might as well be messed up too, right?
Then when you become awakened to that, you're like, oh crap, this ain't where I'm supposed to be either.
That's right. But see, if you don't experience it, Paul said, except the law said, thou shalt not covet, I wouldn't have known it was wrong.
Yeah.
See, I have to experience that negative side before I can understand the spiritual side of it, the positive side of it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So you got to experience it. And that's the thing the church won't let you experience. Or they won't tell you, you need to experience it. Everybody says, I'm having a problem. Well, what I say to people really don't make most people happy. Good. You're experiencing some of God's growth in you. You're going through some tough things. Well, I don't like this. Well, good. I know you don't like it, but God's still working on you. But I want you to take it away. And I said, I can't take it away. I didn't put it on you. They don't like it. You put it on yourself, but still, I mean, they expect you to do something to take it away. I said, I can't do that. I don't have the ability.
Pray for them.
Yeah, I'll pray for them. Let me just go ahead and send you to glory.
We must experience that anguish before we can really... Yeah.
Appreciate the peace.
The peace of God. You know.
Mm-hmm. Pain is the price of
all I can rejoice over her, you rejoicing because that soul excited is fallen. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And God did it. And you're really expecting
you
wow.
keep breathing life into her.
Yeah.
That rejoice has really got some power in you.
Yep. And verse 21 says, and a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone or a big millstone and cast it or threw it. It's the word balo, which means to throw. Threw it into the sea. I'll stop right there and then because I have to change page anyway, so I'll do this side and then I'll go on. But a mighty angel, and it didn't say a mighty angel, it says one. The word a there is heis, which means one. One mighty angel took up a millstone, a great millstone, or a big one, and threw it, saying, not thus, but in this way, with violence. Or an impulsive violence, a violent impulse. It's going to be very violent. You know, when God totally changes somebody, it's a violent to your mind. Your mind is in upheaval.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like what they called the Battle of Armageddon going on.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is. I mean, it's internal. It's a great earthquake in us. But this violence shall be... See, how that great city Babylon, you know, the confusion inside here, found no more at all. Well, see, when you go through this process and start to see what's going on and recognize that God's in control and God's doing something and you're rejoicing in what God's doing, isn't that what it said there, to rejoice over her?
Yeah.
See, when you get to the point when you realize now God's in control of this thing, I'm not doing it, God's taking care of it, and he told me rejoice for the fact that he's taking it out of me. So I'm going to give God thanks in all things, okay? And look, this is the beautiful part. that the great city be thrown down violently and be found no more at all. Hello, freedom. Right?
Yeah.
If Babylon's gone, what you got left? Just the Spirit of God. Just the Spirit of God. That should make everybody be shouting and rejoicing. It says, and the voice of harpers and musicians and pipers and trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in you. Now, what did we hear in us? Now, let's just go back into the dust and sand a little bit. See, they tell you, you've got to have all this stuff, the harpers and the musicians and the pipers and the trumpeters. If you ain't got that, you ain't worshiping God. But he said, that stuff's going to cease. It's not going to be heard in you anymore. Isn't that right?
Could this be relate to the single-eyedness of a dove?
Sure. You've got your eye off of stuff.
You're no longer listening to that.
You're listening to the Spirit. Sure. And he's telling you all the things that's there. The craftsmen that shape the different things and thoughts of your mind. They're not going to be there anymore. Why? Because the Spirit of God has taken care of them. He's worked you through all those touchstones that you had to go through and deal with. It shall not any more be found in you, and the sound of the millstone shall be heard no more at all in you. See, no more wrestling, no more grind, huh?
No more grinding.
Yeah, you don't have to grind it. You know why? When you come to maturity, what is going to be your nature?
God.
Huh? Didn't Jesus say, "Father, make them one with me as I am one with you"? Mm-hmm. So if my mind is the mind of Christ, what do you know?
Everything.
1 John 2:20 says, you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things.
The sound of a millstone. Millstone is used to grind
wheat.
Grain,
right?
Yeah. Right?
The word. It's
so
grinding it out.
So you realize you
are the word. You don't have to grind it. You are. Just be mm-hmm. who you be. Okay? You don't have to labor at this thing. I've had people say, how do you remember this stuff? I said, it's not remembering. I said, it's not memorization. It is who I am. I can't help it. It's just who I am. I can't relate to that other stuff. Now, I know what it is, and it's repulsive to me to hear that other stuff.
Mm-hmm. I understand it too. But everybody's different. Mm-hmm. I can't just automatically pull up and say, go look here, go there. But mm-hmm. I can live it in my day-to-day action.
Sure. Everyone's not called to do what I do.
Right.
You know, they're not called to come to where I'm at. It doesn't mean you're not called. This means you're called at a different place and time and level and everything else. And it, just like it says in the Scripture, if you give someone the drink of water in the nature of a, and that's the nature and authority of a prophet, you have a prophet's reward. So if you do what God asks you to do, it doesn't matter if do one thing in your entire life, do it, and do it right. You've got the reward as anybody else. You've been faithful and done what you was asked to do. See, it's not about how much you do. Are you doing what you're told? Are you being obedient? That's what it's all about. It don't have to be what, you know, everybody's not called. There's some be apostles, prophets, evangelists, and pastors who teach. There's all different realms of that, but there's all kinds of levels below that too. But they're God's not showing a big favoritism because this one reached 100 people and that reached one. But that one that you reach might be one that is the ultimate one. And the ones blowing their own horn probably won't have to worry about this right now. Okay, where did I leave off? 23, right? Mm-hmm. And the light of a candle shall no more shine at all in thee. Now.
Because you are the light.
See? You are the light.
Mm-hmm.
And the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall no more be heard at all in you. Okay? Because you're at one with God. It's not about the bride or the bridegroom. Now, the two become what? One. Because your merchants were great men of the earth, and by your sorceries, or your, and that word right there is pharmakia, like drugs, where we get our pharmacies, in connection with idolatry, were all nations deceived. How many?
Oh.
Hmm. We've all been there, haven't we? And in her, in that soulish realm, in that Babylonian thinking process, was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. I heard people say, "Oh, by God, if I'd been in Jesus' day, I'd have never drove nails in him." You're one that did.
I'm doing it today.
Yeah, but they would have done it the same thing then.
Do you do it to your brother? Well, then you've done it.
Well, just like those people about homosexuals. Churches running around beating people up and, you know, and having riots, like, you know, because there's homosexuals. They'll go to these gay pride things and attack them and throw things at them and hurt them and everything. You know, hey, none of their business what they're doing. If you clean up your own backyard, it'd be a lot better than going out and trying to clean up the world, isn't it?
I don't remember Jesus going around beating anybody up.
No. And just like the preacher out in Arkansas that's a Baptist preacher and he's accusing all the military of being murderers. So when all their bodies come back from the war over there, they go and protest every funeral,
yeah,
wherever it is. They raise money and send the church there to protest it. But then them, what's the,
is it Westboro,
what's the brothers, something? What's one Don writes, that group he writes with?
Patriot Guard.
Yeah. They go to all them. They got Patriot Guards all over
to
the country.
Protect the family.
But they'll go there and set up hundreds of them, those motorcycles, and set up. They stand out there in the cold and the rain, and no one pays them a penny, and they pay all expenses themselves. And they go and keep that religious cycle off of everybody.
Men of ignorance.
And they protect
the... To protect the families when they're having a funeral so that they can't get there. And the cops stand back and let them do what they got to do, you know. And they keep everything straight.